Good to be here this morning. I appreciate so very much the invitation to come and be with you throughout the week. And I'm amazed that I'm finding the kind of people here already that I have at home. Those who like the Lord's gospel and want to do the right sort of thing. I'd be remiss of me, I didn't take but just a moment and express to the elders my appreciation for the invitation to come. I'm grateful not only for the monthly support that is sent to me in the work in Mansfield, but also for the invitation to come and be with you. Looking forward to the week. It would be a wonderful thing to be able to visit with each one of you, but I want to know that I'm here to work through the week. If I can have Bible studies with anyone, if there are things that come up that I can be of service, I'm here certainly to work and to do that kind of thing. A friend of mine one time told the church he was there to work with them that week, and before the week was over, he was baling hay. Now, I'm not interested in baling hay. But if we can have Bible studies and do things together to further the kingdom of Christ, then certainly I'm happy to do that. Appreciate so very much the fact that we're here together. If you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, we'll be looking at that in just a moment. Brother Thornhill and his family have invited me into their home and given me a bedroom. I appreciate so much their hospitality of all four of them. And even their dog and cats have made me feel welcome. So things are going to go very well this week indeed. I'm taken care of and I appreciate that so very much. Throughout this week, I'm going to be using Romans chapter 12 as a foundation for the lessons. I want you to be able to remember Romans chapter 12 in the future as it connects to the lessons that we'll be leading with to talk about the things that are really important with regard to the child of God. And to recognize that there's a place in your life and my life for beginning again. I saw a poem one time, The Land of Beginning Again. I don't have that poem in its entirety. Most of us are very aware of the fact that we wish there were times that we could redo something or undo something. I heard one time a fellow say you couldn't unring a bell, and that's true. But at the same time, there are things that I've done that I wish I had not done or I could redo. And the Bible tells us that in Christ Jesus we have that privilege. And we do that by the renewing of our minds and by the restoration to fellowship with Christ as we obey the gospel of Christ. So this week is going to be looking at Romans chapter 12 from different standpoints, and we're going to be emphasizing the phrase, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I hope that we'll appreciate what a privilege that is, and that every time you think of Romans chapter 12, you'll think about the renewing of your mind. Thus, you're going to be able, as a child of God, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's been put into music as we sing about the higher plane. We want to live on the higher plane with Christ. Day by day, as the outer man decays, the inner man can be renewed day by day. And these are all thoughts and ideas that have to do with our passage this morning and help us to understand the will of God. In renewing our minds, we need to recognize that this is something that needs to take place here in our own country, whether in Texas or California. We're hearing among sociologists a phrase that is new to America. It's called post-Christian America. People, you know, look at different segments of America's time past and our history and chronology, and they're now talking with this present age as being post-Christian America. Now, what that means is that we've turned the corner like Europe has and become secular in our thinking. In Europe, you go to the big cathedrals and you see empty buildings. People not there to worship God. The tourists go there. People who want to study architecture go there, but you're not going to find anyone who really is going to be there on the Lord's Day to worship God. They're empty because Europeans have become secular. That is, they're not religious. They're not spiritually minded. What they're saying is now that America has become secular, that most people in America are not really concerned about religion again, but that we are in a new age of America, and we see that all around us. So there is a need not only for Americans to be renewed, but also for Christians to be renewed. I can't do much about America, but we together can do things together. We recognize that life has changed all around us. Those of you who have any age at all, like I do, can remember when you were younger how much things have indeed changed and what has come out of the closet and what is so different when it was 50 years ago. And it's sort of like you're sleeping and now you wake up and say, what's happened to America? And you're seeing and hearing things that are so different from what it's been in times past. And so trench in the synonyms of the New Testament word said about this idea of renewing is the gradual conforming of the man more and more to that new spiritual world into which he has been introduced. That is when you become a child of God. And in which he now lives and moves. the restoration of the divine image. And in all this, as far as from being passive, he must be a fellow worker with God. And that's the idea that we're striving to understand as we talk about renewing our mind. First of all, you're a fellow worker with God. And as you work with God and as you work with Scripture, you're going to be able to see that certain things in your life need to be changed and your spirit revived and renewed. And that we truly can do that. And as the world erodes your spirituality, or as the world dominates your thinking sometimes because of the various influences with which we have to deal, there's the possibility of renewing our mind so that we don't become like those round about us and be conformed to the world. There are those who never learned this really vital gift. Paul talked to Timothy about those who are ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I'm sure I don't speak to those this morning. We want to know the truth and become a better Christian today than I was yesterday. Brother Dennis Reed, who preached in Florida for a long time, said that he knows of many who are in a sound church without a clue. That is, we don't really know what's going on in the world around us. We don't really understand the things that are taking place. And thus we need to have our minds jogged. As some would say, as in the book of Hebrews, after all these years, you're still a babe in Christ. Please turn, please, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 5 and beginning reading with verse 11. A very familiar passage, but one that certainly hits the point with regard to what we're making this morning. He's speaking in the previous verses about Melchizedek, the priest of Salem, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We need that. We need to be able to have our senses exercised so that when you hear things or see things that are not right, your bells go off and you understand the things that ought to be different about those. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter also advises that we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word. And Hosea wept because he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And in congregations, you're going to see the fact that there are different levels of maturity. There'll be those, hopefully in any growing church, that are babes in Christ. New converts, we need those all the time. Then we have those who are growing and intermediate with regard to the knowledge of the Bible. Then we have the mature Christians who've studied and developed the knowledge of the Word of God. Sadly, though, there are some who by reason of years and years have been Christians a long time, but they're still babes. And this is what the Bible teaches ought not to be. Christians need to make progress in learning and understanding and the application of the Word of God. And these lessons are going to be primarily designed for that all through the week. I'm going to be preaching on things that Brother Thornhill, I'm sure, has taught many, many times. But these are the things that I'll be saying, the way that I say them, saying the same thing that he said on different occasions. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul advised, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. So you should be able to measure your progress from day to day and know that you're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, just as an aside, I'm going to be reading mostly through the week from the New King James Version. And so if you want to know what version I'm using, that's the one I'll be using most of the time. But a congregation only matures as the members of the church understand this principle and make the application of things. This church, I'm sure, has been here many, many years. But it's only going to be as strong as the members of this congregation seek to be by the knowledge of the truth. So we truly invite you to be stirred and moved this week by the gospel of Christ, to be renewed in your spiritual man. And I would like to ask each member to do something as we approach the week. If I ask you to contact 1,000 people and try to have them here for the meeting, you wouldn't do it because you say that's an impossible thing. I can't contact 1,000 people. Let me ask each one of you to contact 10 people through this week. That's a reachable goal. If you will, make a list of your friends at school, your cohorts at work, your family, even your enemies, if you have those, and tell them about the meeting and invite them to come and offer to bring them if you can. And each of us can do that. So I'd like to urge you to do that. I don't know many people. This is my first trip to Bellflower. And so I don't know many people to invite. But this is your responsibility as your part of the meeting takes place. But the vital text that we're talking about is, again, Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me begin toward the end of that by saying, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Put the Bible to the test. When you follow the Bible, you'll be a better person. You cannot prove it to be wrong, but because you follow the Bible and put the principles of truth and righteousness into your life, you will prove that God's intent is achieved in your life. And you'll be able to understand that. Now, as we look at this passage, there are a number of things we want to emphasize. Paul is not above begging. I beseech you, brethren, it's that important. I beseech you, I beg you. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is, of course, Paul's way of looking at things as a Jew. As Paul would think about a living sacrifice, it comes to mind the many times that Jews went to the temple and they would take a living animal and the animal would be slain. But that animal, as it was slain and consumed in the fire or how it was prepared for the service to God, would be a pleasing sacrifice to God. Now, it makes the shift from the Jewish religion to the faith in Christ when he said a living sacrifice. Your body is a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. And in your mind, if you can see you coming to worship together, it's as Paul would say, you're offering yourself to God as a sacrifice. That's what it should be. I tell people, don't give to the church. I hear that sometimes, well, I'm going to give so much to the church. No, give it to God. Make it a sacrifice. I make up my check sometimes to the church, but I know in my mind I'm making a sacrifice to God, and that's what He wants from our life. And He says it's a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. That is, it's according to the mind. I recognize that some people are so emotional, they do things that are emotional without any reason whatsoever. But our service, while it is certainly emotional in that it ties us to God in the heart, it is also reasonable in that it follows the will of God by what the Bible teaches, and we can understand that. Do not be conformed to this world. I'll talk about that a little bit more, or transformed, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I promise you that if you will apply the Bible to your life, you'll become a better wife. You'll become a better husband. You'll become a better citizen. You'll become a better student. You'll become a better son or daughter. It is just so with the Bible that when you allow the Bible to work in you, that you're going to be more than what you ever thought you could be. And that's what this apostle is saying. Now I want to look at some of the other things as you consider what is being said there in that passage. Another passage that emphasizes the same thing. In 2 Peter chapter 1, there's an expression that I want to bring to your mind this morning that is just amazing to me that it is stated in the Scriptures and yet it's so true. He's talking about the grace and peace which comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Now listen to this phrase. That through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. I don't know what point that phrase jumped out at me. I've read it many, many times. And all of a sudden, that phrase, that you may become partakers of the divine nature. Now, we could twist that. It's not saying that you're going to become God, because we're not gods. But it is saying that as you let the words of Christ rule in you richly, Colossians 3:16, that you're going to be more and more like the Christ. You're going to think like Christ would. You're going to do what Christ would. And you take on the nature of Christ in your response to God. You become the partakers of the divine nature. That's a wonderful thing. Because most of us have come out of a worldly background. You don't know the Roberts family in Texas, but my physical family were those who were not religious at all. My mother was a Christian, but my father never became a Christian. Fought the church as long as he lived. His people were always drinkers and gamblers, and on Sunday they went fishing. They had nothing to do with religion whatsoever. And I could have been like that, but I'm so thankful that my mother introduced me to the Bible and introduced me to the gospel and helped me see the truth, and by her good example of living, taught me the way I ought to be. Now then, through all those things, I'm different from my people back in Texas, for the most part. Most of them are not Christians. Well, you can say the same thing. You came out of the world. You had a life of things that you're not proud of now. But now that in Christ, and as you renew your mind day by day, you take on the nature of Christ in that you think and act like Christ would act in a given circumstance. And that's what I hope that we can achieve through this week and look at various things in the Bible, and we take on the nature of Christ. And that in your schoolwork, as the young people go to school, you will actually think in terms of what would Jesus have me to do on a daily basis. Wives and mothers and husbands and fathers in the home, that will characterize you as you live your life as a child of God, taking on the divine nature. Now let's look at some of the definitions. The word conformed is from a word meaning to conform oneself or one's mind and character to another's pattern. As you look at the world and you see the language and you see the actions of the world, you sort of take on that worldly attitude and action. That's conforming yourself. We speak of a mirror image. I've seen some twins here this morning. I was thankful enough to be blessed with twin granddaughters. They were identical twins. They could get ready for school when they grew older, and they didn't have to look at a mirror. They could look at each other and tell what they were going to look like when they got to school because they looked at each other. They were a mirror image of one another. I don't want to be a mirror image of the world. I know how it speaks. I know how it talks. I know how it acts. I don't want to be conformed to that. And Paul is saying, don't be conformed to that mirror image. J.B. Lightfoot, in his words said, is to fashion oneself to the fashion of this world. You just become like the world around you. And you cannot be distinguished from those. Now, the contrast, again, to Lightfoot saying, not to the fleeting fashion of the world, but to undergo a complete change. To undergo a complete change, you assume a new form, and the word form comes from morphe or metamorphosis. We'll talk a little bit about that. In the renewal of your mind. Your mind takes on a transformation. You're not like the world anymore. You don't think like the world thinks. But actually, you begin to think in a whole different way altogether. And so this definition then of transforming, as Paul used it in Romans 12, was to change into another form, to transfigure. Now, that word is used in Matthew 17, in the transfiguration, the metamorphosis of Christ. As you saw Jesus in Jerusalem and in Galilee teaching, he was just a common, ordinary Jew to look at him. Isaiah said he was not a comely person. He wasn't handsome. He's just a Jew. Nothing stood out about him to make him well known except his teaching and his miracles. He was just another Jew. But in Matthew chapter 17, the disciples went up with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, wherever that was, and he was changed. And the Bible says in Matthew 17 that he glowed in radiance. Look with me at Matthew 17 and just notice something that took place. And for a moment it was as though the veil of the flesh of Jesus was drawn back. And the Word that was in the presence of that body shone forth. And the disciples were able to see that. Peter talked about it in his epistle. And so in Matthew 17, in verse 2, he was transfigured. He was metamorphosed. And before them, his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Now that's what the Word means, to be transformed. Now I know that I can't achieve that level. I'm not trying to say that we should. But they're certainly involved in that idea that when you become a child of God, you're changed. And sadly, as Christians, there are times when we don't live up to what we ought to be. And the Bible is saying that we can renew ourselves, that you may fall back a step, but then you're going to renew yourself and come back to the Lord. And that's exactly what it's saying about this. Now, look at how this really is used. And synonyms of the New Testament again, Trent says, do not fall in, says the apostle, with the fleeting fashions of this world, nor be yourselves fashioned to them, but undergo a deep and abiding change by the renewing of your mind, such as the Spirit of God alone can work in you. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't fall in with the language and the dress and the speech of the world around you, but undergo a deep and abiding change inside of you. I've seen that happen. There was a young man who attended back many years ago by the name of Leroy. And Leroy was a young man who had been in college at the University of Texas and liked to drink. And in fact, when he went to the bars in Texas, in Austin, Texas, he had his name on a plaque in the bar because he had drunk more and stayed sober longer than anybody in the bar before him. And his name was on the plaque. Through the process of learning the Bible and studying, he became a Christian. And he had a tremendous change in his life. There was a metamorphosis in his life. And he went back to that bar and took his name off the wall. He said, I don't want my name to be associated with that anymore. He's preaching the gospel today. Now you talk about a change. That's the kind of change that I'm talking about. Don't fall in with the spirit of this world, drinking and dancing and all those kinds of things, but renew your minds and undergo a deep and abiding change. Now, this is a caterpillar, if you don't recognize it. What happens to a caterpillar? There's a transformation that takes place with the caterpillar and becomes a butterfly. We can see that in nature, and we think what a marvelous thing it is for the metamorphosis to take place. Friend and neighbor, that's what God wants to happen in your life. He wants there to be a deep and abiding change in your life. Have you grown up with the language of the world in your ears? If you watch television, I know you have. Girls, when you go to buy some clothes, are you going to buy clothes like Britney Spears? Or are you going to buy clothes like a modest woman would buy? Are you falling in with the things of the world, or do you transform yourself? Here's the old man, and he's transformed into the new man. Romans chapter 6 talks about that in other passages. Colossians chapter 3 speaks of the same thing with regard to if you've been risen with Christ, you put off the old man, you put on the new man. It's talking about the change in your life while you're here on this world. Now the other passages, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14 warns not to be fashioned according to lusts. And that would describe our modern world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 31, the apostle says that these fashions pass away. And I got to thinking as I read that passage about pictures that my mother had in her album of her mother and her grandmother and the kind of clothes they wore and the hairdos that they had on. And they were so different in those old black and white photos from long, long ago. And they were the fashions of those days. And today they're not at all those same kind of fashions. And of course the haircuts of the past are not at all the same as the haircuts of the day. Colossians chapter 3 talks about the inner man. Again, the inner man and the outer man. And how the inner man becomes different. I've seen that among lives of those who became Christians. The way they talked, the way they did things, the way they treated their wives, or the way the wives treated their husbands. It was an altogether different thing when you became a child of God. Your life improved. And that's the exact thing of what we should be doing. And then, of course, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old things are passed away. All things have become new. Is that true in your life? Can you say in your life as a child of God, since I became a Christian, I think differently. I act differently. I seek out different kind of people. I seek out people of God. Paul warned that evil companions corrupt good morals, and that's exactly right. So to the young people especially, seek out the kind of companions that will draw you closer to God, not lead you away. Don't be conformed to the most worldly character in class, but look for the one who has a spiritual mind. The old habits, the old languages, interests and associates pass away. Paul says all these things have become new, and we ought to be able to see that in our life. Well, how does it take place? Titus 3 verse 5 says it's by the renewing of the Spirit. Now, I understand that many people go to an extreme with the idea of the Holy Spirit talking to me and whispering to me some secret, private, mysterious way. I'm not talking about that. I don't believe in that. The Bible doesn't teach that. God, through the Holy Spirit, speaks to us through the Word of God. Colossians 3:16, that the words of Christ dwell in you. That's what I was talking about. But if somebody asked me, do you believe the Holy Spirit has led you, I always say yes. Yes, the Holy Spirit leads me. Well, how does the Holy Spirit lead me? Through the Bible, through the Word of God. But the Word of God is Spirit-filled. So when I read the Great Commission, Mark's account, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and I look at that and I see what the Spirit in the Word is telling me to do. When I obeyed the gospel of Christ many years ago, that was the Holy Spirit leading me because I obeyed the gospel. Now, if you're to be led by the Spirit, you'll know the words of the Spirit. And as the words of the Spirit fill your mind and fill your heart and fill your life, you are indeed being led by the Spirit. So that's how you can renew your mind day by day. In John 3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about the new birth. And the idea was that you're born of the Spirit. When you're baptized into Christ, you can see someone go down into the watery grave. You can see them come in dry, go down, and come up wet. But that's not really the renewing of the Spirit. Jesus talked about, so is the man who is born of the Spirit. That is, something takes place in the baptistry that you can't see. What takes place in the baptistry when somebody's baptized, whether it's here in the stock pond or the river, is that the old man is washed away and the new man is raised in newness of life. Romans chapter 6, the new birth, born of the Spirit. And that old man of sin is done away with, and the new Christian is born in the Spirit. And that's what the new birth really is. Now, have you had that done to you? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, we're not going to try to slip up on your blind side throughout the week. We want you to become a Christian. The elders didn't ask me to come out here and just sort of spend some time. We're trying to convert people. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, and if you're not a Christian, if you haven't been born again, and if you're not following the Spirit, we want you to follow the Spirit. Well, how do you do that? As you follow the Bible. So you find passages like Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's the Holy Spirit leading you in a certain direction. He led me that way. I read that passage and I understood what it meant, and you can too. When I became a child of God, I was led by the Spirit into being baptized for the remission of my sins. And as Jesus told Nicodemus, he was born of the Spirit. And Romans chapter 8 continues that thought, as it has to do with following the Spirit. And in following the Spirit, then you're being led by the Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8 and begin with verse 5. Now, we're talking about the things that help you transform or metamorphosis into a better child of God. Beginning of verse 5 of Romans 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now connect that in your Bibles to Colossians 3:16. That the words of Christ dwell in you richly. Well, how do you do that? By having the Christ, or the Spirit of God, dwell in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so this is clearly following the Bible. It is not a mystical, mysterious process where there's some little whisper in your inner ear. It's following the Word of God, allowing God's Word to be a guide to you. If you want to be transformed, if you really want a big change to take place in your life, simply read your Bible. We have at home a process or a procedure where we try to get every member to read through the Bible every year. And I urge you to do that. Get a Bible reading schedule. There are many online, and you can read certain parts of the Bible every day. And when you get through the year, you've covered the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. If you've never done that, set yourself a goal to read through the Bible in a year. When you do that, you're being led by the Spirit of God. And the value system of the world is no longer guides you when you begin to read the Bible. Revelation of truth is so important. It's absolutely paramount to your lives. And it's not an accidental but a deliberate choice. It's not something you just happen to do. You're going to read the Bible through in a year by accident. By the way, Brother Jerry Fite, who's a gospel preacher in Pasadena, Texas, has a good resonant voice, and he has recorded the Bible through, and you can get them on CDs. I'm sure he has them on DVDs, and you can get those. And you can put those in the car and the DVD player, and you can listen to the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation. And I'm in the process of doing that for myself. When I'm in the car, I like to read the Bible and have the Bible read to me as I drive down the road. So these are just some of the ways that you make a choice about these kinds of things. So do not be conformed to this world. And here's an expression that we need to see. Again, Trench says, the times attaching to the word an ethical signification are the age of the world, the spirit or genius of the age. All that floating mass of thoughts and opinions and maxims and speculations and hopes and impulses and aspirations at any time current in the world, which constitute the moral or immoral atmosphere which at every moment of our lives we inhale and exhale. That's deep. That's good. You go to school and you're surrounded by the world, the language you hear, the things that you see, the things that people do that their parents don't know they're doing, the mass of the floating ideas of the world. You go to the job and you hear on the job, you hear all kinds of language and you see dishonesty taking place. And you hear immoral things and you see immoral things because here's so-and-so having an affair with somebody else's wife and somebody's wife is having an affair with somebody's husband. That's that floating mass of thoughts. Should I say anything about television? Do you watch the soaps? I hope you don't. Now, I can see them passing through the channels and somebody's always in bed with somebody else's wife. And that's that floating mass of thoughts that generates the idea they drink a lot, they commit adultery a lot, they use bad language a lot, and that's just normal. Folks, that's abnormal. But we've become so accustomed to that kind of thinking that that's normal for us. It didn't happen in the Garden of Eden. They didn't have any soaps in the Garden of Eden. And we'll all be blessed if our television stations blew up sometimes. But I'm not opposed to watching television, but I'm saying that if you conform to that, you may leave your wife or husband. You might start drinking wine because they do a lot of drinking on television. And you might get so caught up in all those kinds of things until you just are just like the world. And Paul is saying in our text passage, don't do that. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So here are just some of the quick things that we inhale or exhale. Our time is getting away. These worldly attitudes where they say, well, conscience is a safe guide. If you feel all right, do it. If there's a bumper sticker of ancient Rome that had the philosophy of some of those guys, it would be, if it feels good, do it. Let's have some afternoon delight. And so all these things, if it feels good, it's all right. One of the country songs, how can it be wrong? If it feels so right. Now that's the philosophy of the world, brethren. And so many are willing to follow. Situation ethics, if it's right for me, if I feel good doing it, then it's okay. Because there is no absolute right or wrong. And then of course many think it's okay to do something, just don't get caught doing it. And then the idea that I need to get high. I need to get high. Drugs, alcohol, all those kinds of things. One religion is as good as another. All that's out in the world. And, of course, the positive mental attitude that ignores all the negative things like do or don't do that the Bible talks about. These are just some of those things that we inhale and exhale. Watch any TV or movie or read any book. Do you go to R-rated movies? Do you pick out R-rated movies to watch at home? See, you're just inhaling and exhaling those kinds of things. And your children see that. And they watch those kinds of things. And it happens in their presence. And they think that's life. Now, if you think that's life and normal, you need to be renewed. That's what Paul is saying. Be renewed. And don't do those kinds of things. Do you buy clothes without discretion? And I know from trying to buy clothes for our daughter, sometimes it's a difficult thing to do. They don't make decent clothes. Sometimes women have to go back and take up sewing again because they don't make decent clothes anymore. They're always the mini skirts. They don't have a top and they don't have a bottom. And you just sort of have to fill in between the best you can. And those things are difficult. I know that. And then, of course, there's the latest TV icon or music star. And the rebellion against the older generation, that just sort of breathes in and inhale and exhale. with regard to smoking pot, and everybody's going to have some tattoos, and we're going to get some studs and rings in our nose and ears and all those kinds of things, because we want to be different. And so to be different, we become more and more of the same with all the other people, and we're conforming to what they're doing. Be at ease with the world. And you know, we don't have very many heroes and heroines for our children to look up to. Can you imagine being exposed to Britney Spears every day? And that's what they see. They go to the clothes store and they've got Britney Spears clothes. And the Old Testament talked about those who wore the attire of a harlot. Well, you can get that at JCPenney's and Sears and Kohl's and these other places. All the attire of a harlot, because that's the kind of clothes that are on the rack. And if you're okay with that, you're being at ease with the world. Being a Christian, that is, you nominally a Christian, but you're more like the world than what like Christ is. And those are our problems. Let's remember the world is passing away. 1 Corinthians 7:31. And those worldly attitudes are passing away. Those old worldly styles and standards are going to be gone one day. We studied in Revelation class this morning about the end of the world. You'll be talking about that the next coming weeks, that here's the end of the world. Those things are going to wind up in Hades, along with or hell, along with other things. Worldly religions. One man said, are you wedded to this world? Then it's time for you to get a divorce. God hates putting away, but there are some divorces that are good. If you use bad language, you need to get a divorce. If you wear ungodly clothes, you need to get a divorce. If you have ungodly friends, you need to get a divorce. If you smoke pot, you need to get a divorce. And so on and on we could go through all of these different things. Christians and churches must be in the world, but not of the world. You must be transformed. Now that's a rich place to plow, that passage. And I hope that as we look at that through the week, that you'll be able in coming years, as you look back on Romans 12:1, or come across that in your Bible reading, that some of these things will come to your mind, and as they do, you'll be a better Christian. Now, I want to close this morning by asking if there's someone here who needs to become a child of God. The idea of renewing your mind. You don't look at the denominational world and think in terms of what the denominations teach, salvation by faith alone and all of that. But you look at the Bible. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you will come to the front this morning and renew your mind in the Scriptures, the brethren here will baptize you into Christ. You'll put on Christ and be led by the Spirit to a different kind of life. If you're a child of God, you let the world conform you to itself. I'd like to bring that an abrupt, alarming understanding that I'm not living right. I'm conforming myself to the world. And God wants me to be changed. To be metamorphosed into a whole new creature, a new creature in Christ Jesus. You may do that today if you would come to the front and confess your sins to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. He's a gracious God and He will forgive you. Will you come as we stand together and sing the song of invitation? We invite you to the front.